This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
From Transport Topics in Washington, D.C., this is Road Signs. And now here's your host, Michael Fries.
Thank you for listening to Road Signs, the podcast series from Transport Topics that explores the trends and technologies that are shaping the future of trucking. Before we dive into today's episode, we'd like to invite you to subscribe to Transport Topics, where you can receive exclusive access to our top 100 list, such as the top 100 private carriers in North America that just came out, quarterly magazines, and other news surrounding the trucking industry. To subscribe, visit ttn.ws/TT subscribe. You can also text TT subscribe to 571-622-0001 to become an official member of Transport Topics. That's 571-622-0001. Happy National Truck Driver Appreciation Week. In today's episode, we're going to cross the paths of competitiveness and trucking as we celebrate National Truck Driver Appreciation Week. The career in truck driving is already a labor-intensive job, mentally and physically. Add on competitive truck driving, and that's a whole new ball game. Today, we're going to speak to a driver who is well-versed in both areas. Joining the show is driver for UPS and grand champion of the ATA National Truck Driving Championships, Greg Wilson. Greg.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Greg. Glad that you can be on. I'm really excited to have you on to the show. The NTDC is really, that chance, sort of like that sports-like feel, to be involved in conjunction with the trucking industry. And also in your case as the grand champion, the 14th time is the charm. So you are a distinct veteran in this particular championship, and you've competed in multiple classes over the years. But kind of concentrating on 2023 right now and that competition, I know there's a lot of thoughts that were in your head when you were competing. Just to let the viewers know, the competition, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, is a written course about industry regulations, a pre-vehicle trip inspection test, and then the actual driving course, correct?
Correct. Yes, okay. That's correct.
Okay. So getting into that process, especially getting into it 14 times, and I know there's a process to that. You qualifying, in Nevada and winning the Nevada state competition. Could you tell us about that process and especially for this year, just kind of you've been at it for, 13 times, and then this 14th time, you win that championship, but of course you have that doubt, when you're competing, you did this 13 years and, you haven't placed, so what was that feeling like? Just kind of get me through that whole process of competition and winning the grand championship once and for all.
Well, the first thing we got to do as drivers is we have to go accident free for a whole year before we can compete in our state competition. So that's a pretty good incentive to get into the competitions themselves. And then we compete at the local level. We prepare by doing some practicing. We start reading the book and some old tests and such to get ready for the written tests and just practice some pre-trips as well. As far as getting ready for the, once you win the state and you go to the national level, it's going to be the same stuff, only a lot more intense, and you're going against all of the best people from every single state. So there's a lot higher, higher level of competitiveness, I guess you could say.
Getting down into those particular details of competing, was there a particular moment in that competition when you felt that, hey, I could probably win this thing? I mean, or was it just, oh my goodness, I messed up on this, or I failed to do this? I mean, what was that thought process like?
Well, so the first day that I drove and did my pre-trip on Thursday. So I took my test on Wednesday, like everybody else, and I felt okay about it. Not great, but I, you know, felt okay. And then when I drove on Thursday, I felt pretty good. The first couple problems I felt I had scored on, and then I saw that I knew I didn't score on the last two, so I went back to the bullpen waiting to go do my pre-trip, and I did kind of start beating myself up. I thought, you know what, I don't think I did very well, and I was thinking that you know, I'm not going to be up there driving again. And at one point I was kind of thinking that the whole emotional ups and downs of this thing, it's like, I don't know if I want to do it anymore. And at that point I said, okay, I'm just going to go do the best pre-trip I can and see what happens, you know. So I went and did that and went and did my pre-trip. And then after you're done with all your stuff on the day that you're driving and doing your pre-trip, you can leave the bullpen. So I left, and as I'm walking out to the stands, I see a couple of people, and they ask how I did. And I go, I won't be driving on Saturday, you know. And as I'm walking up to my wife and a friend, they got big smiles on their faces. And I'm like, what are you guys smiling about? And I go, my wife goes, you had a good run. I go, yeah, right. I thought she's just trying to make me feel good. And then she goes, no, you had a really good run. You're like tied for third place. And I just about started crying. I was like, wow. You know, I was like, I've got a chance at this. So at that point, I thought I had a chance to make the top five to get into the runoff on Saturday.
You know, so we get to Saturday. You know, you were the champion for, I believe, the tank division, and how did you feel about that? You know, just placing in that regard. I mean, was that a surprise to you as well, what was that feeling?
Well, I'll tell you what. Back up just a second for that. Saturday morning, they have everybody gets called off, and then they call off the top five people in each class. That was probably the most nerve wracking part, because I had a pretty good lead, I thought, as far as between the fifth place and sixth place person. Me and another guy were tied for fourth, basically. So one of us would be fifth, and then there was a pretty good gap between us. And at that point, I was thinking of all the things that could happen that could make it so I wouldn't make it into the top five. So that time standing out there while they're calling all the other classes, and they finally got to us, and they called the first two people. And I'm just really lucky. I'm just happy I was not the fifth person called, because you know, it was nerve-wracking enough. So when I was the third person called, that at that point, that's when I thought, I can do this now. That's when it kind of clicked, like, you know, there's a good chance that I can make this happen. And my whole outlook got really good.
Okay. From, you know, so you're, I mean, you were happy from that particular standpoint that, you know, I'm the best in this category. So that's great. And it's just sort of, I'm pretty sure it probably gave you some validation for all the years that you've been in it. Now, what was that moment when you were called to the stage? Mm-hmm. As the grand champion.
Oh wow, that was crazy. So I'd gotten called on the other one, and we won one of the last classes called that they did for the first, second, third. And I was sitting there thinking, I had no clue it was going to be me. I was completely overwhelmed. My wife stood up and they said my name, and the whole place erupted. And my wife was standing in front of me, and she's just going, Craig, you got to get up on stage. You got to get up. And I'm just sitting. I must've been for like 10 seconds. I couldn't move. I finally got up, and everybody's, you know, congratulating me and hugging me and shaking my hand. And then, you know, waiting for me to get up on stage. So finally I got up there, and I was overwhelmed. I couldn't believe the support and everybody clapping, and the feeling of just, you know, I had a feeling of just, you know, I finally made it. When then getting that, I didn't even imagine that was going to happen. It was crazy. It still is. It's still hard to think about.
You know, just one of the things that's amazing about that is, you know, it being your 14th year in competition, mm-hmm. and then you finally win. What were some of the things, if you could, I mean, now looking back at it, you know, the balloons are gone. The balloons have been drawn down, and everyone celebrated. You know, we leave the room. And right. You can kind of sit back now. You're in your home in Nevada, and you can sit back and think about, you know, just the journey from that point to the first year that you competed. What were some of the things now that you can look back at it that that you've done differently the first year you know, versus that 14th year? Was there something in between there that kind of had a light, a light bulb turn on in your brain, thinking, you know, okay, maybe if I do it this way, I'll be able to place? Or was there any thoughts like that?
So probably one thing that I could probably give advice or whatever for somebody to, if they wanted to really do well sooner, would be, I would say, pick a couple of classes that you want to do and concentrate on doing the same classes every, because you can do this, like I can do tank truck next year, but if I was to win tank truck next year, I have to go to a different class. And so you can do a class 2 years and then you have to switch. So I think if a person was to just go back and forth between a couple of classes, I think you'd get a lot more familiar with the type of equipment and of what the course feels like for those pieces of equipment. Whereas when I've spread it all over the place. You know, I don't know if I've ever even done the same class 2 years in a row. And a lot of that's been just by default. I usually let everybody else, you know, pick their class that they want to be in, and I take whatever's left. That's what I used to do. That's probably one of the biggest things. And then, you know, even like the book, it is as dry as it is to read and stuff. If you just brush up on that a little bit more throughout the year, instead of waiting till, you know, it's time to compete, that would probably help you on your written test. But as far as the problems and driving the courses and stuff, I honestly can say that I've done it. I feel like I've done it both ways, where I've practiced a whole bunch and then I get to the national championship and, you know, either have a good day or a bad day. And I've never had that, that day where I had a good drive. I had a feeling that if I ever got into the finals, I had a feeling that I would do well. It was right. The format for the nationals, for the runoff day, fits my, how I'd like to do things a little better than the, during the week competition. Cause you do everything right now. When you're doing the competition on Saturday, you get to see the course on a screen, you go walk the course, and within, you can be, you know, driving the course within a half an hour. Whereas when you do it the other way, you see the course and then do all the stuff on Wednesday, and then you drive on Thursday or Friday. So you get a chance to really process everything and think about it and double, you know, then second guess yourself and everything. Whereas on Saturday, you don't. You just go out there and you do it. And that's how our state competition format is as well. And I feel that's a strength of mine.
National Truck Driver Appreciation Week is a special opportunity to recognize the impact of 3.6 million professional truck drivers that they have on our daily lives and the economy. At Kenworth Truck Company, drivers are the inspiration for our trucks. From the date of our founding 100 years ago to today, our goal has been to solve the driver's toughest transportation challenges. On behalf of all the Kenworth employees, past and present, we wish to express heartfelt appreciation for professional drivers. We appreciate your commitment, dedication, and of course, your drive.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that strength in the article by my colleague Eugene Malero. That's currently in the on ttnews.com right now. You had described that Saturday as being one with the truck. Just kind of being in the zone, just sort of as a pro athlete would be in those championship situations. Was that feeling? I mean, it was just sort of you were in the zone and you just had your experience, your instincts of a career in truck driving take over?
Yeah, I mean, actually, when I drove on Thursday, I had a little bit of that too, but then I had time to doubt myself later, but. Definitely on Saturday, I got in the truck and everything just felt good. I barely had to adjust the mirrors. When I did the walkthrough of the course, I walked through it pretty quickly. I looked at every problem. I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And in my head, everything I kind of had a good plan for it. I didn't really see any reason to overthink it. And when I got up in the truck, it felt like, I mean, the scoring pads, they looked huge in the mirror. They looked like, you know, I use the analogy of a baseball player hitting, you know, the pitcher is throwing a ball and it looks the size of a watermelon. It's like, how can you miss, right? So that's how this was as well. It's like everything just was crystal clear, and it's like, oh, I see that. And I was totally calm. I was very, very composed, not nervous at all. I just felt like, okay, this is going to happen. And I had to come back from a, I think it was 71 point deficit. And I came back and I think I ended up winning by 8 points. So I did everything I had to do on my side. And that, then after that, it was, you know, it was in God's hands, I guess you could say.
Did you know that, I mean, that you had a deficit going into the competition or?
Well, so I knew that the other driver had driven a 240 on the course and I had driven a 175. And then I didn't know how he had done on the pre-trip or the written test. So I had at least 65 points. So that's all that I was pretty sure about. And I'd heard that Jason was pretty good on his pre-trip and his written test for the most part. So I figured he probably had a few more points there. But we got our some scores we saw posted, and I found out that he did gain a couple more points in those categories as well. So yeah, I just went out there and did whatever I had to do and hoped for the best, basically.
Knowing, you know, your competitors and how they're doing, and also you being in that competition for so long, I'm pretty sure there's a level of camaraderie that goes along with this. I mean, you're in this competition, you go there every year, I'm pretty sure you see the same faces. You know, how's that relationship with other drivers who are doing the same thing and they're competing in the same contest as you? How's that? Has that flourished over the years?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's one of the things that draws most people back. Definitely for me, I like seeing all the, I may not see those people for, you know, a couple of years. It was 5 years actually for me. The last time I was in was 2018. And so I hadn't seen a lot of people for 5 years, and it was like a big family reunion. It's the camaraderie is great. Most everybody I know, they root for everybody. If they want everybody to do well, we're all in this together, and we've all driven safely for a year to get to this point. To do anything else but root for everybody is, you know, it wouldn't feel right. That's not to say that on Thursday when I knew I was in the top three and there was probably maybe 10 tank drivers left, I was rooting for them to do well, but not better than me.
You give it their best, you know. Yeah. You want your competitors to be at full strength when, you know, you're competing.
Right, with them. Yeah.
And totally get that. Totally.
Yeah. So Jason, the guy that did the 240, he was one of the guys that actually he went after I had found out my score on Thursday. So when he laid down that 240, it was like, wow, that was impressive. And so I knew I had my work cut out for me if I was to make it to the finals.
Well, I kind of want to talk about that. You know, the first year since you've been in, you know, this competition. You know, first of all, what? Yeah, you know, we'll get into things later, but I mean, what got you involved in competitive driving? I mean, you have a long career in truck driving. What made you get into this?
Well, so I think my first time that I ever competed, I think, was around, I want to say, the late 80s or maybe early 90s. And there was a few guys from, I worked for a Viking freight system at the time, and there was a couple guys that worked there that competed. One gentleman, a real good friend of mine, he's since passed. His name was Roy Holt. He was instrumental in me getting started. And he just said, yeah, just come on out and you'll give it a try. So I did it a couple times and it was fun. And, but then for one reason or another, I didn't compete for a while. I think my daughters, I started coaching softball, and their competitions, their tournaments were usually end up the same time as the state competition for Nevada. So I just really never got back into it for a while. And then mid-90s, I became the driver trainer at Viking, and they pretty much said, if you qualify to be in the rodeo, we want you to compete. So that's when I started doing it. And then in 2000, so the first couple years after that, I placed second and third in the state. And then I finally won my first state championship in 2000. Then once you come to nationals, then you're hooked, because it's a whole different game and whole different. Everything's just blown up as far as from a state competition standpoint. And that's when you're like, whoa, I want to come back and do this again.
From year one to that point, where was that point where you thought to yourself, okay, I can do this year in, year out? I mean, was that that first year, or was that that the year you came back from?
I probably always thought I could probably do it. But in 2000, that was in New Orleans. I won the vehicle inspection report award that year. And that was probably the year that I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to win someday. And at some point, though, you know, later, last 7 or 8 times, I was just thinking, God, I just want to get up on stage. You know, I didn't know if I could win it, but I always thought that if I got up on stage, I would do well. So I guess in answer to your question, when did it really click? I don't have a real good answer for that, other than I'm pretty competitive. So probably, you know, probably after the very first time I did it in 88, I probably thought, yeah, I could probably do this if I focused on it. But I had other priorities at the time. And then once I started focusing on it more, I thought I could win it if I ever got up into the finals. And finally, this year, I think I was just a little more aggressive on some of the things that I normally am not. And then the confidence and nerves this year were just everything was really good on both drives, but especially the drive on Saturday. But I just felt really good, calm, not nervous at all, pretty confident and stuff, and it worked out.
Okay. You know, you had mentioned, Roy Holt being an inspiration for you, in competing, and, you know, and the your inspiration, as you had said, for just to pursue a career in trucking was your father. How did that shape the career you have in trucking now? How I'm pretty sure he was a major inspiration for you.
Yeah. So my dad, he drove truck, I think probably from pretty much the time I was born until, until I was probably a teenager, I guess. And he drove dump trucks, and he, you know, had his own dump truck and did some, a lot of logging truck stuff and chip trucks and stuff like that way in Northern California. He wasn't like encouraging me to be a truck driver, but he didn't discourage me either. And so when I got into the industry, he was very supportive of it. He liked, he liked where I was working, and he was always kind of, he goes, wishing he would have worked for a bigger company, kind of like what I did. And he gave me some pointers and stuff. And of course, you know, we didn't have AC and we didn't have power brakes and all that stuff, you know, like we do now. So, he's 91 now, so he's pretty sure he could probably still do what I do. So, with all the luxuries and comforts, is go, wouldn't be that bad now. It's like, yeah, you're right, it's not that bad. So,
yeah, yes, most definitely. You know, one of the things, Greg, I wanted to talk about as well, the last question before we get you out of here. You know, we are a podcast of the future trends and analysis of this industry, but in this case, we'd like to know your future. You're on the top of the mountain right now in TDC, and like I said, you're a strong veteran of the industry. So, what's the future look like for you now? I mean, are you going to compete again, or any thoughts of retirement or things like that?
I'm gonna compete again, probably three or four more times, I'd say. After I do retire, I'd like to volunteer when I can. I'll probably volunteer at the local level here in Nevada, and then see how it goes. Maybe I'll go volunteer at the NTDCs as well. So that's and then I'm also applying for, right now I'm applying for America's Road Team as well. I want to be able to pass on some information and my experiences and stuff with everybody, and see how that goes. I'll stay involved at some level for quite some time, I believe. I've been in the industry for a long time, so I see myself retiring, but I don't see myself completely getting out of it. I, at some point when I retire, who knows, I may even drive a little bit here and there just to do it. I don't know, though.
You're not going to settle in an island in Honduras on a quiet little beach?
Not permanently, but I'll definitely be down there for a good part of the years.
Okay. Just to let you guys know, that's his all-time favorite vacation, as he had mentioned. So,
leaving tomorrow, actually.
Well, all right. All right. That's a great way. That's a great way to celebrate a win. We've been speaking with Greg Wilson, driver for UPS in the daytime, but he can put on his super cape and become the ATA's National Truck Driving Champion. Grand champion. Greg, it was a pleasure having you on Road Signs.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being here.
National Truck Driver Appreciation Week is a special opportunity to recognize the impact of 3.6 million professional truck drivers that they have on our daily lives and the economy. At Kenworth Truck Company, drivers are the inspiration for our trucks. From the date of our founding 100 years ago to today, our goal has been to solve the driver's toughest transportation challenges. On behalf of all the Kenworth employees, past and present, we wish to express heartfelt appreciation for professional drivers. We appreciate your commitment, dedication, and of course, your drive.
Before we close, let's take a moment to revisit our conversation with Greg Wilson. I may be dating myself, but if anyone remembers the 70s sports show, The Wide World of Sports, there's a memorable line, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. From our interview with UPS's Greg Wilson, he most likely felt those emotions from, number one, the pressure-filled moments from the National Truck Driving Championships in Columbus, and two, the creeping feeling of numerous competitions without reaching the top of the Grand Champion Mountain. However, from that situation, Wilson simply put his head down and perform the duties of truck driving that he has made into a successful career. So becoming Grand Champion to Wilson was a sum of all the hard work he had made to that point. A career in truck driving is a one-of-a-kind position to have for those who choose that journey. Wilson, like many others, have made those sacrifices to earn a living for their families, and competitions like NTDC serve as a reflection of the industry's appreciation of their efforts. If you enjoyed this episode of Road Signs, please let others know. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to reach out to the Road Signs team on Twitter at @TTRoadSigns or reach me at Michael V. Freeze. You can email us at share@ttnews.com. We'll read them and respond daily. Also, let us know how we're doing by texting TT Survey to 571-622-0001. And of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of Road Signs. Until then, I'm Michael Freeze. Thank you for listening.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.